Welcome to Theology in the Raw, where tough questions are raised, easy answers are avoided, Christianese cliches are mocked, and the Bible is studied with fresh eyes. This is not your grandmother's Sunday school class, folks. This is Theology in the Raw. And now, here's your host, Dr. Preston Sprinkle.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Theology in the Raw. You're listening to yours truly, Preston Sprinkle. And I'm glad you joined us on the show. We are working our way through various theological questions. I'm simply addressing some of the questions I've gotten over the last few days, and I continue to get questions about random theological topics and debates and all that, and certain passages, and what about this, what about that. If you do have any questions, please email my assistant at pmsprink@gmail.com. That is pmsprink@gmail.com, and I will do my best to address your query. Query. I like that word better than question. It sounds more sophisticated. So if you have a query with a cup of tea, you can email it to me, and I will try to address it. One of the questions that I got over the last couple of days, and I was waiting for this one because I feel like it's got to come up at some point. I don't think I've ever addressed it on this show, at least. I have addressed it in the past in several places. It's been a while, actually. But it has to do with the whole rapture question. So here we go, folks. We're going to do the rapture thing. Now, before I even get into the rapture question, I want to give a bit of a background of where I kind of grew up theologically, the different environments I've been in. When I became a Christian, I'm not going to give my whole testimony, but I grew up as sort of a fence-riding Christian, sort of into church, confessing Jesus with my lips, but not with my heart, not with my life. And so I still have this kind of Christian background, even though I wasn't really living it out. During my teenage years, I would go to church, usually hungover, or go to church out of guilt or because my mom made me go. And I have a Christian background, sort of, even though I didn't really start following Jesus till I was 19 years old. But in my Christian background, it was a heavy, heavy, so-called pre-tribulational rapture sort of version of Christianity. Meaning, for those of you who don't know, some Christians don't even know what that means, which might be good, I don't know. The pre-tribulational rapture view says that 7 years before Jesus returns, there will be a rapture whereby believers will be caught up to heaven, or at least they will sort of meet Jesus in the clouds and then return back to heaven God is sort of rescuing believers out of the earth so that they won't endure the next 7 years, the 7 years between the rapture and the second coming of Christ, because those 7 years will be a time of great tribulation, and believers should not go through that. And so they are raptured. They are caught up out of the earth. And so the earth has no believers, in a sense, on it. And that's when God is sort of raining down suffering and judgment on unbelievers during that time. Now, there's different views on the rapture. There's a pre-tribulational rapture, which means they're rescued 7 years before the tribulation. There's a mid-tribulational view where halfway through the tribulation, believers are caught up to heaven. There's also like a pre-wrath view. Gosh, this is reaching back like 15 years during my seminary days. Pre-wrath says that there's going to be a time of intense wrath towards the end of the tribulation, and the believers will be caught up before that. And then there's a post-tribulational view, which says that they will be caught up to heaven after the seven-year tribulation. It's sort of they'll be caught up to heaven right when Jesus is returning to earth, and then they will come back down to earth with Jesus, and then they will live for 1,000 years during the so-called millennial kingdom, which is described in Revelation 20. So these are the different perspectives, and I was raised in an environment where the pre-tribulational rapture view was the only biblical option. Some of you are smiling because you were raised in that same environment. In fact, one of our producers here just told me he just listened to a sermon on the air here on 94.1 by David Jeremiah, famous pastor down in San Diego, where David Jeremiah talked about the pre-tribulational rapture as the view that he holds because it is the biblical view. It is what the Bible says. Now, I don't know where to go with that. I mean, you can say I believe in this because it's biblical about just about anything. I mean, many cult leaders. I'm not calling David Jeremiah a cult leader, by the way. Many cult leaders have said that, you know, we're going to go down to South America and kill ourselves because God told me so, or because the Bible says so, or I believe, that Jesus isn't God because it's the biblical view. Like, you can say that about anything. You can even quote verses. You can quote verses that sort of support that. I mean, you can quote the Bible to justify just about anything. It's a lot harder, though, to make a thorough biblical argument for some of these views. So is the pre-tribulational... So the question is, what do I believe? Well, let me just first of all say, just in case you get in an accident and die in the next couple of minutes, or in case you turn the station, just so you know where I'm at, I do not hold to a pre-tribulational rapture view any longer. I don't know what I would, you know, post-tribulation. I don't even know what good... I don't even like that phrase, because that assumes a literal 7 years of tribulation, which I don't... think the Bible clearly teaches. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe Jesus will return and he will raise the dead. He will judge the living and the dead, and he will then believers will enter into the new creation and unbelievers will be cast into hell, a topic that we've addressed over the last few shows. So where does the whole rapture thing come from? Well, it begins in 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll read this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 17, especially 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." Asleep is a sort of way of describing those who have died. That you may not grieve as those who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So, let me just keep reading. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So here, the word will be caught up in verse 17 in the Latin. I forgot my Latin, but it says something like raptuo or something like that. Anyway, the Latin word for caught up is where we get the English word rapture from. So there is language here of being caught up with the Lord, but the question has to do more with the timing. Does this refer to some sort of pre-second coming of Christ where Jesus will sort of return halfway to earth and then believers will be caught up to Jesus and then return back to heaven, and then 7 years later Jesus will return again and raise the dead? Well, I think that's really tough to get from this passage. In fact, I would say it's impossible to get from this passage alone. You see, the pre-tribulational rapture view doesn't look to any one passage. It doesn't look to any one biblical book. Rather, it takes several verses from 1 Thessalonians, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and sort of pieces together this end time scenario with a precise chronology: 7 years of tribulation, a sort of pre-rapture, or pre-second coming, 7 years before the second coming of Christ, where Jesus returns and raptures people up, and then the actual second coming when he returns and raises the dead. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 is just simply talking about the second coming of Christ, whereby he will raise the dead. The question that Paul answers is that those who are dead will not precede those who are alive. And preceding in the sense that they will be raised from the dead first. And then he gives his scenario that those who are, that the dead in Christ, those who have already died, will be resurrected. And then those who are alive when Jesus returns will also then be resurrected. I'll never forget in seminary, I took a class on, it was a Greek class on 1 Thessalonians. And as part of that class, we were required to write a paper on the eschatology of 1 Thessalonians. Eschatology has to do with the study of the end times, okay? So in my school that I went to, my seminary was, very adamant that the pre-tribulational view, pre-tribulational rapture view was the only biblical option. I remember one of the leaders of that school addressing all of us in chapel and saying that we would be fools if we would deny that view. So he said, do not be so foolish to think that you know more than your pre-tribulational rapture professors and deny the pre-tribulational rapture view. So not a whole lot there for dialogue or disagreement. But I remember being in that class halfway through my seminary career, my seminary education, and we got this assignment to write an eschatology on 1 Thessalonians. And up until then, I had pretty much believed in a pre-tribulational rapture view just simply because that's what I was always taught. And in my undergraduate Bible education, they presented that view to me, and I seemed, so I'm like, okay, I guess it makes sense. You're quoting verses from Daniel and 1 Thessalonians, and these professors are super smart, so I would be a fool to deny that, was my way of thinking. So, but I wrote this paper, and I said, you know, I truly want to just understand what the Bible says. It was one of the first times in my life, I think, in my early Bible education, where I'm like, you know, I just want to see what the Bible says. Where's the Bible going to take me? Apart from what I have always been taught, like, let me just study the text of 1 Thessalonians and say, when these Thessalonian believers received this letter from Paul 2,000 years ago, based on this letter, because that's what the assignment was, an eschatology of 1 Thessalonians. Based on this letter, what would the Thessalonians have believed? Because remember, the book of Revelation hasn't been written yet. The book of Matthew hasn't been written yet. They have the book of Daniel, but they don't have these other New Testament books yet. So they received this letter from Paul. What would they have believed about the end times based on this letter that Paul wrote? And I concluded in that paper that you can't get a pre-tribulational rapture view from this letter and this letter alone. Even if you bring in 2 Thessalonians, you can't get it. In other words, these two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, do not talk explicitly about the timing. There's no seven-year period here. There's no pre-trib rapture and then second coming of Jesus. Like, from these letters by themselves, you can't get that. That's what I argued in the paper. I later found out that after I wrote that paper, they changed the assignment in that class. I don't know if they still have it this way, but it was after I took that class. The assignment now in that class was no longer... students, you need to write an eschatology of 1 Thessalonians. The assignment now is, students, you need to write a pre-tribulational eschatology of 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. I really enjoyed my education. It was a wonderful experience, but I thought that was just kind of bizarre, telling students they had to argue for this particular position. I kind of like the older assignment better, write an eschatology of 1 Thessalonians, but when you do that, you may end up with a view that differs from your professor. We're out of time. We'll return tomorrow. We'll keep talking rapture stuff. So join me tomorrow on Theology in the Raw.
For more information about Preston, please visit his blog, Theology in the Raw, or his website, PrestonSprinkle.com.